Oh, grab these computers. They're so naughty and so complex.
Listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
We share our wisdom with those who seek it.
I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
MajorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks. The geeks are here to take your calls.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
Good morning, everybody. I am your host for this hour of Technology News Information and Help. Mike Graham with me in the studio, MajorGeeks.com's own Jim McMahon.
Tim's, oh, yeah.
I'm looking to my left here, and there's a big open space.
He's vacant.
He's vacant. He's not
here. He's gone down to the Carolinas.
Has he?
Yep.
Okay. Let's hope he gets to witness that one. Maybe he'll get to witness one of those hurricanes down there. What are we doing today? Well, something I haven't done. I've been on the air here in Central New York this last go-through for several years now. And it was pointed out to me that we've never done a show on how to properly use a search engine. You know, most people just type in whatever they're looking for, like a long sentence or something, and then dig through hundreds of pages of stuff, trying to abstracts, basically, is what they're called, trying to find what they're looking for. You know, simple searches are pretty easy, but usually you get the advertiser stuff at the top, and then you really don't get what you're looking for necessarily on the front page. 50-60% of the time, in my case, if I'm doing a simple search, I don't find what I'm looking for right away. So, I realize that, you know, a lot of people probably don't know how to use a search engine and use all those little quotes and pluses and things like that. How about you?
What's a quote? Absolutely, especially in today's world where search engines are so dominant for websites. The traffic that a website gets is dependent on a search engine. So you're doing a lot of what's called search engine optimization to try and draw traffic. And there's a lot of people out there who are going to try and get traffic to their website for bad reasons. For example, they may optimize their site for the word MP3 download, and it's a cellular phone site
or something like that.
So weeding through all that search engine spam is difficult.
So we're going to have some guests on, hopefully someone from Yahoo. Also, we'll have someone from the Central New York PC Users Group joining us to kind of refine your knowledge on how to use a search engine. You don't want to miss that. Of course, your calls are 421-9325-421-WFBL. We got our Geek of the Week software pick. Website of the Week. This is an oldie. I don't know. Our producer, Mel, chose this site. I'm going to have to talk to her. I don't know if this is we'll talk about it during the break. We may have to make an on-the-fly change here. We got some announcements. We'll have the Central New York PC Users Group here to talk about their latest meeting, I think, which is coming up next week. And another Macintosh thing. I guess we're both going Mac here. We're having Macintosh. People are kind of creeping into the show.
Geek it to the max.
You've got a Mac section on the
Mac.MajorGeeks.com.
Amazing.
Run by the wonderful Krista. Who?
Yep.
And that's done very well. We opened that up in November.
And she's a Mac person?
Absolutely.
Maybe we should have her do a feature on the show here, like once a month or something. What do you think?
Krista, you listening? You want to do a feature? Call in. 425-something. I don't know. Ask us.
421-9325-421-WFBL. Of course, we start off the show each week with Tim and the Technology News, and filling in for Tim is, rhymes with Tim, Jim.
What do you got?
Well, first off, we're going to start out with the news that wasn't news. Microsoft announced this week that they were going to delay the launch of Windows Vista. I think the news part is that was my one prediction of 2006, and it came true.
Yeah, that's a real tough one.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw that one coming. Ooh, shocker. But the Microsoft plans to delay the launch of the Windows operating system from mid to late part of 2006 to at least January 2007, cited wanting to increase the quality of the security, as well as saying the PC makers didn't want the operating system introduced in the middle of holiday sales. Which I thought was kind of interesting, where, Dell...
Yeah, we don't want to introduce a product at a time when everybody's predisposed to go out there and buy it.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Well, why don't they just tell the truth? We're not going to be ready. Yeah. We're way behind. The project is all confused. Yeah. They're never going to tell you that.
Exactly. And it's kind of funny that the more and more I see information about Vista, the more and more it goes away from being what Vista was 3 years ago to... sort of a geeked up Windows XP.
Vista does stand for horizon, right?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's and of course, you can never reach the horizon.
But the other thing, too, it's a brilliant move on Dell if Dell is actually able to stop it, because, they can, for the Christmas season, they'll sell a whole bunch of XP and 2003 machines, and then in January, everybody's going to want Vista, and they'll be able to sell a bunch of Vista machines in January and February. So. Brilliant move on their part, I suppose, but, what are you going to do? Second one, since we're doing search engines, a web publisher sues Google over index exclusion this week.
Oh, isn't that called censoring?
Yeah, well, Google, all the search engines do it. But again, a lot of websites' traffic depends on inclusion in the search engine, so you pay a lot of attention to that. And Google will filter you out of their searches. There's actually a way to see it, all the filtered searches. But if a site is doing something against the Google terms of use, like, spamming their meta tags and stuff like that to try and drive traffic wouldn't actually be there, they will exclude it from the search and shut you down from Google. Now, this particular company, which is Kinderstark.com, is saying that Google is violating their right to free speech under the U.S. Constitution, as well as violating Section 2 of the Sherman Act and using a monopoly to position harm for competitors.
Mm.
This is interesting, because what's Google saying is we shut them down because they were using bad practices, and this company is saying, well, you can't shut us down because we have the free speech to put on our website whatever we want. If they do win this, that's going to be very interesting for the whole China thing. Because up until now, Google could say whatever it wanted to list, it would list based on quality. But being a U.S. company, if they can't filter based on the First Amendment, then it's going to be an interesting question on whether or not they can filter China.
Yeah, I don't know. Monopoly. Google is really not a monopoly.
No,
they're in a very competitive ground. I'm not an attorney, but I don't see how they win on that one, that it's a monopoly. I'm a big proponent of, let them do whatever they want. Free speech is free speech, and Google has the right to free speech, too. They have the right, free speech and censorship, yeah, or discrimination, which, is oftentimes repugnant, but it's still a right. Google said, hey, we don't want to let you on our search engine. We're not going to let you on our search engine. It's up to the public. As long as people know about it and know what Google's doing and say, I don't like that practice. I'm not going to use Google. I'll use something else. I think that they should be allowed to do whatever they want to do, and
absolutely,
we should be allowed to complain about it and boycott them. That's what freedom is.
Well, the other thing, too, is with Google, after the end of the search, if you type in ampersand filter equals zero,
mm-hmm,
you will see all the stuff that Google filters. But Google's argument is we're trying to have a quality search. If you type in the word, MP3 player, we want to produce MP3 players.
Relevancy, right.
Yeah. And so, they're producing a product, and certainly somebody could go to Yahoo or Ask Jeeves or MSN Gus needs a pen.
Did he? Okay, I was wondering what that sound was.
To find whatever it was on Kinderstark.com. And I went to the site. I couldn't see, what it was, but I do know webmasters who have been filtered by that, and it's very difficult for them. So. But the terms of use are very clear at that Google site. So, let's see. Oh, here's one. Apple says France copyright bill promotes piracy. I love this one.
What?
Yeah. Apple Computer said that the French copyright bill will require music downloads to be playable on all portable digital players, promotes piracy. Now, the one tag with Apple has always been they want to own everything. For example, if you
if
you buy an Apple computer, you have to have Apple hardware, Apple this, Apple that. If you buy an iPod, you have to use iTunes and Apple's music service. What the French copyright law says, if you sell an MP3 player in France, then it has to be compatible with anything. So if you buy an iPod, you should be able to use Napster. You should be able to use Windows Media Player, WMVs. You can use MP3s, whatever. And it takes away from Apple's proprietary copyright software. So it's kind of interesting like that, and I like it. It's the first thing France has done in some time that I've been interested in the copyright laws. Which it really should open up the market. If you buy an iPod, you should be able to play whatever MP3. If you buy an iRiver, you should be able to. I mean, I rip MP3s all the time off of legitimate CDs I bought, and there's certain MP3 players I can buy and I bring it over, and it won't work.
I got to be perfectly honest with you. I have found that if you want legal music and you want to pursue music legally, and now I've been to several, I have clients, a lot of them are doctors, and they're doctors and professionals, and they have the iPod, and they don't mind paying for the music, but they want a subscription service, or they don't want to be filling up through 10,000 songs at a buck a song.
Yeah.
So, but they don't want to get involved in illegal music. So what ends up happening is they have this device, they have iTunes, they're getting music, that they take off their CDs and so forth, and then they want to go out and, do some type of proprietary music download, where it expires after they stop paying the subscription fee. You don't get it with that. I really found that unless you have the only service out there that's really working end-to-end perfectly is anybody that supports Windows Play for sure. And I'm not trying to promote Microsoft here, because iTunes is a nice interface. It is. The iTunes devices, the iTunes software is. It's a nice interface, but it's not clean. It's not, you can't do whatever you want type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
With all these other services, if you want to remain legal, if you have that Windows Play for sure, using a Play for sure service like Napster or Rhapsody or Virgin Music or one of those, and you have a Play for sure MP3 player device, you're going to be able to get the music you want for 10 or 15 bucks a month, or you can buy it for 99, all the way down to stuff on sale, 49 cents a song. So if you want to burn it to a CD. So the cleanest end-to-end stuff I've found is that Windows Play for sure stuff. Hey, we're way long, right? Is that it, Gus? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I guess we aren't going to be able to wrap that comment up. We got some calls, 421-9325, 421-WFBL. There's one line open. When we come back, we'll take your calls right here on MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. That's the break symbol. You just figured that out after a year? He keeps seeing us take your hands like you're breaking a pencil, and he goes, oh, that's what that means. All right, we'll be right back with MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL. With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy in upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today. That's the way you do it right here on MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. 421-9325-421-WFBL is the number to call. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to teach you how to use those search engines rather than just type the stuff in. There's some little tricks and tips you can use so that you refine your search and get what you want. Also, we were talking about MP3 players. Just the other thought was that, again, not to smash iTunes, but something that surprises a lot of people. Say, well, I don't mind. I'll pay the 99 cents for the song, and then I can make a CD of my favorite songs. Nuh-uh. You will never be able to burn it for some reason. Now, there were cheats around that and so forth, and I think we're going to have to get somebody in here, again, from the music industry. We had the chief operating officer, I think, from Napster on about 8 months, 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. I think we need to get somebody in to kind of clear the air about how this stuff has evolved now, because it's getting more difficult to burn your songs onto permanent media.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's being driven to these MP3 players where the song will eventually expire, or, you know, hey, let's be honest, if it's on a hard drive, it's not on removable media, it's on a hard drive that, has a limited amount of space, no matter how great, eventually you're going to lose that song. It's like having your home pictures on your hard drive.
So you're paying 99 cents to rent it. You don't actually
pretty
buy
much.
It.
Pretty much. Because you're going to end up losing it at some point. It's not going to last you 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, the technology is going to change too fast. Where if you put it on a permanent media like a CD or, even old records, you can still play them.
And my whole point with that, by the way, is CDs are not permanent media. And you should be able to back up your data. I buy something, I should be able to back it up. And the whole music industry and motion picture industry has really jumbled that up, where now you buy something, very hard to back anything up, and you scratched a CD, you got to buy it again. I mean, that's not right.
That's wrong. Yeah. Hey, let's go to the phones. Ron is here. Ron's got a problem with his desktop. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Good.
Welcome to the Geeks.
Hey. I listen to you quite often. I've been trying to get through to you guys for a couple weeks now.
We're so popular, the lines are always busy, I know, but thanks for keeping up with it.
Let me give you Tim's home phone number while he's out of the studio.
What can we do for you?
On my computer, I normally leave it running, except for when there's a storm or something, I shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
But in about the last month, when I shut it down and power it back up again, all my icons are large for some reason, and everything else is large, Even when I go into the Roadrunner front page, that gets large. I know how to, put it back down, but why should it happen every time it goes off all of a sudden?
When you say put it back down, are you saying your video driver drops to like 640 by 480 and you have to put it back to 800 by 600? Or what do you mean by putting it back down?
Yes, I put it back down to, to the 800.
800. Two problems. You either have a video driver problem, and you just need to figure out what video card you have, get a new driver from the manufacturer and reinstall the driver, or you really could have a problem with the video card itself, and so it's having problems distinguishing the driver on boot. How old is your machine?
It's pretty old. It's I can't even remember when I bought it. No, it's at least 5 years old, at least.
Wow.
That's a
crowbar in your wallet, yeah. Ron. Get a new computer. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a good machine right there. I love to hear stories like that. I'm guessing you're using Windows 98?
No, I upgraded.
Really?
To?
XP. I upgraded XP and had more memory put in.
Excellent. You're a man after my own heart. You know, I bought a state-of-the-art laptop, Ron, about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And because it takes me so long to set up a machine, I have so much stuff that I put on it. So I can appreciate holding on to something for a real long time. Most of my contemporaries, people I work with, people who work for me, they're changing their computers like they change their socks every year. You know, but it's like a week out of my life to set that machine up because of all the tools and everything. And so I can appreciate that. I would underscore what Jim said, that it's probably your drivers. As long as you're saying that what happens is it's your computer goes back to 640 by 480 when you reboot.
Yeah.
It's not the icon settings then. It's just the overall video resolution setting. And then you slide the bar over to 8x6 or 1024 by 768. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely video drivers. And probably what happened, believe it or not, is that you had a critical update that happened without your knowledge that conflicts with those video drivers. It's a pretty common problem. Feel fortunate that that you're able to remedy it when you boot your computer up, because we've had Donna called here, and we've been working with her. She called a few weeks ago. She has a similar problem that's occurred through AOL, and we can't fix it. And it's a very similar to what you're having. She sets her computer to 800 by 600, but the screen only shows 640 by 480. So when she moves her mouse over, the whole screen kind of slides with her. You know, it's like she has like a little magnifying glass over a work area. It's very difficult to.
That's
work
not
with,
a so. Bug. That's
oh,
a
wow,
feature
that's
with attitude.
Yeah, I would say look for updated drivers. The other thing is, if you want to hold on to the computer and you can't get better drivers, in other words, you can tell Windows XP to go out and find better drivers, and it'll go out and look for them. If it can't find them, it'll tell you you've got the most current drivers available. If that occurs, you may have to consider getting a new video card for your computer, which you can do inexpensively.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to get anything fancy.
Okay, so how do I do that? I'm going to...
right mouse. Yeah, you know where you go to change your resolution there when you reboot your computer? You go to, you know, Windows Properties, the desktop properties. When you bring up Properties, then there's a settings screen. And then you have the Advanced tab.
Okay, right.
Okay. When you go to the Advanced tab, depending on the video card you have, there should be a tab for the adapter. And at that point, you go to the Adapter Properties. Okay, and then you can go and there's a Drivers tab on there. So in that Drivers tab, there's a click to update your driver, and it'll find the new drivers. Now, what you may find is that your driver got updated all by itself, and you may even have to roll your driver back. Should be careful that you have a good restore point on your computer, Ron. Make sure that you had a good clean shutdown recently, because when you're playing with video drivers, sometimes you lose the ability to see your computer, and you're going to need to restart it and go into safe mode and do a restore point of your system, which is a nice, clean, easy process. But be very, very careful. But let me go over that one more time. Right mouse click Display Properties. And then you're going to go right to where your slide bar guy is there. That's a technical term, right?
Yeah.
Slide bar guy thingy.
Yeah.
So when you go there, you'll go to Advanced Properties. You'll see a place for your adapter. And then when you click on your properties for your adapter, there will be a update driver capability thing there that you can use. Also, what you can do, right mouse click on My Computer,
mm-hmm.
and go to, what is it? There's another way in. It may be a few shorter steps, and that is a right mouse click on My Computer Properties, and then from there is a Device Manager, and you should be able to get right to your video drivers from your adapter there, too.
Okay.
All right, give it a try. Let us know how I make out.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks. Okay, let me
drop. More than one way to swap a driver.
All right, I hit drop.
What do I do?
Uh-oh.
Mike's got...
Drop the call here.
For those of you who don't see our webcam, you know, Mike, Gus is on the phone. Mel's out of the studio. Gus is on the phone, and Mike is desperately trying to run the phone board right now.
I have no idea.
We're
going to
hear a lot of clicks, sounds, buzzes, squeals, and squeaks, and till Gus, the amazing producer, Gus, gets back on the line.
Oh, okay. Two buttons he pressed.
Two buttons.
And I'm the technology expert.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
That's a little embarrassing.
I've got to bring the video camera more often. That was awesome.
Thank you. 421-9325-421-WFBL is the number to call. We got that one line open. We're going to take a break for our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we will talk all about search engines. Right? No.
Okay.
We're going to have, I think we'll have, there's a Richard Shamp, I believe, from the Central New York PC Users Group. He was nice enough to give us a call this morning, let us know that he could come on with us. He is an expert on search engines, we hope. No, I'm just kidding. If he's listening, I'm just teasing you. I don't even know you, and I'm teasing you. But also, we will have a little bit later Geek of the Week software pick. We're still debating our website of the week if we want to use this because I think it's too well known. Although, now I understand why it was put on here. We'll talk about that. You don't want to miss that website of the week. And, of course, your calls at 421-9325-421-WFBL. You are listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390. WFBL.
The Technology Geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with the Technology Geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Is that monthly internet bill starting to really break the bank? When you can surf the internet for $9.95, why would you ever pay more? That's right. At USA DataNet, you get unlimited internet access for only $9.95. There's no setup fees, you get unlimited email addresses, and a high-speed dial-up connection. With USA DataNet, you receive the same fast, reliable internet service you get with a big-name provider, but for a fraction of the cost. And those aren't the only features USA DataNet offers. There are no contractual commitments, and USA DataNet provides a friendly, full, technical support team to answer any of your questions. So now, you can get the same internet for a much better deal. Go to usadatanet.com to sign up today. See for yourself why so many people are turning to USA DataNet for their internet service. Don't delay and keep throwing your money away. Go to usadatanet.com and join today. USA DataNet, the same internet for a much better deal. With the retail deregulation of electricity over the past several years, it makes sense for your company to purchase their energy from a third-party supplier. If your business does not choose a third-party supplier, the only alternative is to purchase your energy from your local utility under the rates the utility charges. You don't get to negotiate with your local utility to try and get the best price. You pay what they say. New York Energy is your customer-oriented solution to the turmoil in the deregulated energy market. Con Edison Solutions chose New York Energy to manage and deliver their energy at upstate New York. That's right, Con Ed Solutions, the company that provides energy and industry-leading service at the best possible price, can be your energy provider. New York Energy, backed by the financial strength and stability of Con Edison Solutions, can power your company. If you want the best in power for the best value, you need to call New York Energy right now at 866-815-2343, 866-815-2343, or visit them on the web at nyenergy.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions, the right choice to power your business.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Well, I bought it up from Windows Home and tried to boot it up. I love you. It says my memory is not enough.
My memory is not enough. I've been entertaining during our halftime show here during the break. 421-9365.
Since I'm going to have a nightmare about the break, I'm going to share the nightmare with everybody else. For those of you who've seen the photos, I want you to picture Mike Rao doing an impression of Mick Jagger doing "Start Me Up."
Oh. Okay. Anyway, Tim, if you're listening, I didn't realize how annoying Jim can be. And I am glad that you are seated between me and him every week, because now he plays with my microphone. And the best got, though, had to be, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, where you're talking on your microphone and Tim just had enough of you and he hit the boom and smacked you right in the face right with the microphone. We don't care about computers here. We're just here to mess around every week.
Is this thing on?
Is it on? Yeah. 421-9325, 421-WFBL is the number to call if you want to become part of the show. We've got one line open. We're going to go to the phones now. We've got Richard Champ. Am I pronouncing your name right?
That's correct, like champagne.
Like champagne, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, not like Shemp from the Three Stooges. Then.
Woo, 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 woo.
Now, what we wanted to do was people use Yahoo, Google, AltaVista, Dogpile, plus I'm sure some others that we're going to talk about, to go out and look up things on the Internet. But often when it's a complicated search or they're looking for something very specific, it's difficult to do. They'll just type in the keywords they're looking for, and then, of course, they're lucky if it is on the first, second, third, or fourth page. What they may be really looking for is buried 50 pages down, because they don't really know how to use a search engine correctly with all those little pluses and other little special symbols that you can use. Now, you're kind of an expert on that?
I wish I was an expert. I do a lot of searches. I would like to get a few more pointers myself. The only thing I really use is the quotation marks.
Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, let's say, for example, I was watching the Discovery HD Theater, which is a great channel, they had a thing about Central Park, all the animals, urban wildlife, it was called. And they had these parakeets, I guess, that had escaped from a boat, and like six of them or something had escaped from a boat in the 60s. And so I go on Google because I wanted to learn more about these things, because they're still alive and they're hanging out in New York City, and they're tropical birds, but they survived the winter there, and they have like this big community nest, and they only talked about them for about 30 seconds. So I wanted to learn more about them. So I, if I go into Google and I just go, parakeet and Central Park, I don't get anything. And I know there must be a bunch of websites related to this. What are the quotes used for example?
The quotes are used for an exact phrase. Instead of having spaces between your words, if you have spaces between the words, it says parakeet and Central Park. But if you said Central Park parakeet, it would look specifically for that string.
Right. So there's one way to really narrow your search down, is using those quotes, that it would really pull the search down to just the specific words you're looking for. And
For an example, if you had if you were looking for Tim Tibbetts Major Geeks, if you typed in Tim Tibbetts Major Geeks, you would get one search. But if you typed in Tim Tibbetts quotes Major Geeks end quotes, then you would get only the results that Tim Tibbetts with Major Geeks in the results. Correct?
Correct. I hope so.
just making sure I was paying attention.
Now, what search engine do you use a lot, Richard?
Generally Google. I've been starting to use a little bit of Dogpile, but I still prefer Google.
Now, where do you see the differences between the two?
Well, Dogpile will give you a lot of information about four or five different search engines. Google just has a single search engine. I'm getting tongue-tied here, guys.
That's okay.
Okay.
Take your time.
All right. A lot of times, if you have an operating system error and you put in the exact answer, Google come up very quickly with it. Dogpile will ask, four or five different search engines, and it'll take a while to get it back.
Well, there's a good example. If you do have a computer problem that has a specific error message, copying and pasting that error message into Google does, as part of its product, it interprets that you're looking for a computer error or a definition of a virus or a piece of spyware, and it will put those, it will rank those ahead of everything else because it's guessing that that's what you want. I know that Google has done that right from the very beginning to get the techie people to start using it right away, and and they did. I mean, that's why I, you know, when I was looking for a piece of spyware, if I got an error message or I was looking in the, for example, if you go into your task list and you look at programs that are running that are slowing your computer down, you can put the name of the program into Google, and you're immediately going to get a response back as to what that program is designed to do. And you really don't get that in any of the other search engines. Google wants to put that stuff first, again, to help technical people for some reason. Now, what other kind of things are you searching for, Richard? Can we say them on the air? I just want to...
Yeah.
Okay.
This morning I was looking for the true lyrics to... Oh, Danny Boy, I found them, and actually an MP3 that I could play it, but the problem is I can't sing it because I get all choked up. You
know? Well, that's good. We won't put you on the spot there. A couple of other search engines to talk about. Alta Vista is one. A lot of people will go to that. If you want to look specifically for just photographs or just MP3s or just videos, or you want to translate things from one language to another, Alta Vista is probably the best search engine for that, because if you go to altavista.com, you'll notice that it says, well, what do you want to do? You want to search everything? You want to just search for web pages? You want to just search for... And it has different tabs for them. It's very, very user-friendly, very, very easy to use. Dogpile is one that I like to use because it incorporates all the search engines and comes up with the most relevant results from the other search engines. Where I find that as an advantage, I don't know if you agree with this, Richard, or not, but we're using Dogpile. One of the advantages is that the first page or the most relevant items from all the engines will come up near the top. So instead of having to, you know, maybe if you use Google, the thing you're really looking for is on page 5, but if you use another search engine like Yahoo, it's on page 1. Well, now if you use Dogpile, it's going to kind of rank everything and put the most relevant results from all the engines near the front, and that really gives you more of an opportunity, because these engines are really designed to work differently.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Google now, what sets them apart, Jim? When they came out, there was something different about Google than there were all the other search engines. Where all the other search engines went by relevancy, in other words, what were the relevant terms, Google kind of did it by how many hits the site got,
well,
or how popularity.
It's called page rank or site relevancy. So basically, if you have a very popular site, you're going to actually be up towards the top, more likely to be up towards the top. Their algorithm is very sophisticated. It takes a lot of things into play, but that is one of them. So, for example, Major Geeks has a page rank of 6 or 7 out of a scale of 10. So that's going to factor into a search for a piece of software or a piece of information. If a site has a page rank, has the exact same information but has a page rank of 10, they're going to be above us in the search engine because they're going to be deemed more relevant. Also, it comes into play when the page was last updated and that sort of stuff.
So before that, other search engines, for example, then would just simply say, okay, you're looking for these words, however you type them in, and they're going to go and say, okay, well, these are the sites that most closely match what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Google overlays on the top of that, well, yeah, we're going to do that, but first we're going to kind of rank those pages to how often they get visited.
Yeah, and call that relevancy. So
right.
If a lot of people are looking at a page, that means the page should be relevant, and so they try and factor that in. I believe Google was an early... I don't want to say pioneer, but not having to type in the Boolean expressions and Booleans being plus, minus the
right.
quotes. So if you wanted to search for Major Geeks, instead of typing in Major Space Geeks, you would type in Major plus Geeks. Or if you just wanted Major and not Geeks, it would be Major minus Geeks. And Google was one of the earlier, better natural language searches. And probably the fastest as well to compile it.
Well, let's talk about those pluses and minuses. We've touched on the quote, which is an exact phrase, which helps narrow the search. But these pluses and minuses, what they I often use those when I first put in a term, And then if I get too many results, I'll start hitting those minuses and say, oh, they're, you know, I'm looking for whatever I'm looking for, and I'm getting some of that, but I'm, it looks like they thought I was looking for, you know, playing cards when I'm looking for royalty, you know. So I'll minus out anything that has the word playing cards in it. So this, these pluses and minuses, how do they work? Do all search engines support them, do you know, or Jim? Or?
Yes, it's part of the back end of how a search engine works. As a matter of fact, that the Major Geeks search for the site is 100% Boolean. We use both Google to search the site and our own search engine. But in the back end of how a search engine works, it has to use these Boolean operators, which are, and Boolean is just how you do code. It's plus, minus, greater than, less than. There's several other ones like that. But with the plus and minus, you know, again, you could, if you were looking for Mike Rayo, you would want in Syracuse, you know, to narrow it down, you would be Mike plus Rayo minus Canada. You didn't want any Mike Rayos in Canada. You just wanted the Mike Rayos in the U.S.
Right.
That's that sort of thing.
Now, those are the two best things. Richard, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. To me, those are the two things I wanted to get out, was that the quotes give you a way of very rapidly narrowing your search, and then the pluses and minuses allow you to kind of increase the relevancy,
yeah,
or decrease the relevancy of certain words in your search.
The way to increase or decrease relevancy is actually with the greater than and less than symbols.
There you go.
Yeah, you can, for example, if, let's say your middle name was Bob and there was a guy with the name of John, so Mike Bob Rayo and Mike John Rayo, you would want to Mike plus Rayo greater than Bob, which would list all the Mike Rayos with Bob in it first, less than John, and it would drop that down. So that's it.
I have no idea what you just said. No, I'm just kidding.
But greater than list something first, less than list something last.
Okay.
And again, Google does that naturally.
Right. So, again, just to recap, these quote narrows the search. Plus and minus, I said relevancy, but it's inclusion-exclusion is probably a better way of using those pluses and minus terms.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that means. And then the greater than and less than symbols, which was the last thing I wanted to get to, which is relevancy. Hey, let's stack these guys up first and put these guys down towards the bottom of the list. I don't necessarily don't want them, but I don't want them first. I want these guys first. And then the other thing I just wanted to reiterate is the different search engines and how they work. Dogpile is a good compilation search engine, mostly because, and I sure agree with this, Richard, there's a lot you have to worry about with these search engines. I don't mean the sites in particular, but everybody will try to give you their search bar, and it's spyware. And at least Dogpile isn't like that, and it does compile all the big search engines into one set of results. Oh, Tim's, I said something that set Tim off.
Jim, actually, but
Jim.
I'll take the compliment. not all search bars are spyware.
No, I'm saying many of them. Did I
many
say all?
Yeah,
I didn't mean to say that. Yahoo, I use the Google search bar on mine. A lot of people use Yahoo, but you got like this web search bar. And,
yeah,
you know, and it comes up with shopping sites first. Be careful when you use search engines that you're using a site that doesn't incorporate spyware into it. Mm. Stick with the big names. I think one other thing is that, you know, Google, again, is different than AltaVista. If you're doing if you're looking for the chemical symbol for boron, you're probably better off not going to Google. You're probably better off going to a site that doesn't really care how often that site got visited. It just cares that the phrase that you put in with your pluses and minuses and quotes and greater thans and less thans matches up against the site, the sites that it's trying to bounce against, and it doesn't really care how often they're visited. There is a benefit to that when you're doing some, like, empirical research. Students do research and things like that. Rather than going to sites that are more popular, because you brought this up at the top, but now I think now that we've put out a little bit more information, may be relevant to underscore this. Jim, right?
Yes, okay. I am.
There you go.
It would be a little more relevant to underscore this, that the sites you actually go look for will try to trick you, and by putting they have metadata and so forth, and they will try to say, oh, this keyword, I want to display my site if they put in this keyword, where it's really not relevant to what you're looking for.
Exactly. It's called spamming the meta tags, or and the meta tags are in the back end of the HTML code. If you view source, you can see it. You actually look for the word meta, and you can see what the site is saying that's important to the search engine. There's other ways to increase the keywords throughout the site. You'll see it in the site headers. Like, you know, if you go to majorgeeks.com at the top of your browser, you'll see download freeware and shareware computer utilities. Well, if a shop is trying to sell, like, T-shirts, you know, you may see on the top
of that. Careful, please.
Huh?
Oh, I think we've got Jim from Liverpool. He's got a comment on search engines.
Hey, Mike, this is Jim Losey. How you doing?
Good.
Sorry about that. My son was playing with my computer.
What was he searching for? peanut butter sandwich.
How is Jim 2?
The keyboard.
How is Jim 2.0?
2.0 is 2.5.
2.5? No kidding.
2.5.
How they grow.
What was your comment?
Mike, I've got the perfect solution for your Jim and Tim mix-ups. You can just refer to both of them as McTibbetts and the whole problem.
Isn't that the new 99-cent menu at McDonald's now? The McTibbetts. The McTibbetts
sandwich.
But
it's not fries, and it is supersized. I wanted to make a quick comment on the Google searching. I love searching Microsoft site. If you can't tell, it's sarcasm. the best way to search Microsoft is, you know, Google indexes Microsoft a lot better than Microsoft does.
Mm-hmm.
Punch in your search terms, the plus, minus, and the quotes, whatever. And after that, put a space. Then put the word site, S-I-T-E, colon, Microsoft.com. And that will search specifically for relevant items that you're searching for on Microsoft's website.
Cool.
And that is the best way to search Microsoft's website.
Is to put in the colon Microsoft.com at the end of your phrase.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
You brought up another.
Hey, you're welcome.
Hey, this segment ran pretty long. We cut him off, right?
Absolutely. That's okay. Jim can be cut off, no problem.
All right. Hey, Jim. Richard, thanks for calling in and helping out.
Hey, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
And we will catch up with you guys later. 421-9325 is the number to call. We're running real, real long. I just did want to say this. You don't have to memorize all this. I hear people scribbling notes out there furiously. There is a great site that you can go to that kind of teaches you how to do all this stuff, and it is called SearchEngineWatch.com. SearchEngineWatch.com, and it talks about good search engines versus bad search engines and all the news about search engines, which is kind of lame, but SearchEngineWatch.com. And then if you go to /facts, F-A-C-T-S, not F-A-X, F-A-C-T-S, SearchEngineWatch.com/facts, you're going to see how to use search engine math, power search engine use for anyone, search assistant fit features, those kinds of things. All these little tips that we've talked about, Boolean searches. You'll get to know what Boolean means if you ever wanted to know, and all of those neat things. But knowing how to use a search engine, it is a skill. It's more of a skill and an art combined. It doesn't take really a long time to get good at it. If you make a commitment to be a better searcher, it's really one of those things that really pays off. It's kind of like learning to tie your shoes. If you learn to do this, you're going to benefit from it way, way more than the energy you had to put into it to learn how to use a search engine.
Or just stick with Velcro.
Yes, yeah. There you go. 421-9325 is the number to call. We are way long. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have just enough time to say goodbye. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Call The Technology Geeks now at 0011001000110.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft going to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software entire boxes, you see. Only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private all your life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
It's all about the pendants, baby.
It is all about the Penny M's here at MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks, the Athlons, too. We don't want to leave them out. We've got very little time here. Let's go rapid-fire Geek of the Week software pick. Jim?
I'm going to go with the coolest search engine tool that nobody knows about.
With the theme.
This is a neat little program called Spaculous. It's that's...
Where do they come up with these names?
I don't know. The coders sit in a room all day long. This is what they come
up with. Let's call this one Spaculous.
It's a little piece of freeware. It's spelled S-P-A-C-I-L-U-S, Spaculous. And it's in the miscellaneous section at MajorGeeks.com. Basically, what it is a spam filter for Google. It's a front end. It sits in front of your browser. And as we were talking about all these irrelevant searches and people spamming their meta tags and all that, you put it in front. It'll list them in different colors. You can sort them and then block certain sites or certain types of sites.
Oh.
And you will never see it in your Google
searches. So you don't get, like,
again.
When I'm looking, you know, when I'm looking for parakeets in Central Park, it's going to put all, you know, Petco is going to come up first, which drives me nuts.
Absolutely.
So this will get rid of that. That's great.
Yeah. And, so it's really neat. It's a really neat front end. Again, nobody knows about it. I've used it for probably a year now.
And where do we find that again?
It's at MajorGeeks.com in the miscellaneous section. It's called Spaculous.
Okay, we're going to go to our announcements.
I am Spaculous.
That's where they got it from.
Yeah. Spartacus.
They sat through half that movie. Jeff Grauer, president of Central New York PC User Group, won't be able to join us today because we're out of time. We had too many calls and guests. But the meeting is Monday, April 3rd, so maybe we'll have him on next week. It's a week from this Monday at the Liverpool Public Library beginning at 6 p.m. This topic, Macintosh OS X Tiger, the most recent release of the software. Chris Zazara, vice president of the Syracuse Macintosh Users Group, which is iSmug. Instead of snipehug.org, iSmug.org. That's a perfect name for a Mac user, isn't it? He will have a look over the backyard fence at what his neighbors are doing, the latest operating system from Microsoft. Okay, next week we'll be back at full strength, hopefully. And we're out of time, right? We got 30 seconds. 30 seconds isn't enough time to do anything.
Except say, go to Snipug meeting.
Go to the Snipug meeting, and callers holding. I think we got Bill on from Grattan Bell. Sorry, can't keep going. We'll catch up with us next week. We'll
next
see y'all
gonna
then.
Next week's going to be great. Best show ever next week.
All right.
Week.
So long for now. This was the best show ever.
Talk Radio 1390.